We've learned about our videos. So now I think it's time to do some behind the scenes and learn about our first video that we did. It's Modern Day Moffat coming up. Is episode number 4. Welcome back. This is Dubkerr Depot, the official podcast of Dubkerr Media. I'm Kirk Orndorff, owner and founder of Dubkerr Media. We mostly sell train DVDs, but you know, we also have some calendars. We've got a good web presence. So be sure to go follow us on social media. Go subscribe to YouTube. Join the Dubkerr Depot fan group on Facebook. That's where we'll have discussions and pictures and polls and a good way to just kind of follow the show here as we progress throughout. But I think it's time to officially start learning behind the scenes of one of our videos. And what better way to start out than the very first video we did? It is called Modern Day Moffat. Quick summary of the video. Basically, we start at right on the platform at Union Station in Denver. We watch Amtrak number 5 back in and do a little servicing. And then we follow the tracks westward up to East Portal of Moffat Tunnel. You know, we see all the classic spots. We see Leiden, we see Rocky, the Big Ten Curve, we see Plain, Crescent, Cliff. We do a little bit of hiking. We go into Tunnel 19. And into Tunnel 29 and up to Rollinsville and Toland and up to East Portal and a little bit of scenes up on top of the old Rollins Pass Road. And we'll get into all of this here as we get going. But I think we should start with, though, how the project actually officially got started. And there was never really a project when we got this started, like the way there is now. If I wanted to go do a video now, I would have the DVD Blu-ray on my mind. And so I would be kind of planning for some of that. But this wasn't the case at all on this one. You know, I got my first big boy job. If we followed episode 1, I got my first real full-time job, in 2014, about a year after I graduated from college. It was working in TV in Denver. And at that point, I bought myself a very nice camera made by JVC. It was the one model newer camera than what I used in college. So I bought the camera knowing how to use it. I went out, bought a MacBook, which was what we used in college. I bought the same editing program that we used in college. So bought the camera, the computer, and the editing program, knowing how to use all three of them. And they're actually all the same things that I use today. So that's something that has really helped me out as I'm doing this. You know, there's no learning curve there. It's just turn it on and go, basically. But at that time, you know, I had no plans of doing this. I just wanted something good to go out and shoot video with. You know, I've been shooting video since I was about 10 years old. At that time it was just the family camcorder, but you know, it's a lot of practice. You know, they do say practice makes perfect. And the more you do something, the better at it you get. And so that was something that kind of led into buying the camera and just wanting something to railfan with and to use trackside and to be able to capture trains, whether it's just going to Cheyenne to sit, whether it's going on a trip somewhere to catch something you don't normally get to see. And that's where the camera came from. And the very first clips that you see in Modern Day Moffat that I had that camera with was there was a fall trip in 2014. went up there to go see the Fall Colors, and actually the cover scene. The cover scene is one of the oldest scenes in the video. This was in that fall 2014 trip, and I think the oldest run by of that trip is a coal train that we see at East Portal going into the tunnel. I think that one was the train before the patched SP, but you know, the Moffitt was a kind of a fun place for us to go. I would go with a couple buddies, Chase Kepner, who wants to be mentioned by name. And then a lot of people know the name John Crisanti. The three of us would kind of go up there a fair amount. We would go up there to see the Fall Colors. We would go in the middle of the summer when the days were long. We would go up there. Maybe there was a big snowstorm and we just wanted to have fun in the snow. Maybe get stuck up on top of Rollins Pass. I'm not saying it happened, but it happened. And so that was what this first trip was. And we did fairly well. And then came a trip in the spring of 2015. You know, we see it in the DVD with several scenes kind of near Plainview. We got down there that morning and there were like three eastbounds coming plus a north yard to Roper that was going to be called out in the morning. And so it wound up being a real busy day there. And we had just gotten about a foot of snow up in the mountains, you know, maybe the higher elevations got a foot and a half or so, but it was one of those kind of spring dumpers. And we actually have a couple of those spring dumpers in the video. There's a scene of an all gondola train that was going into storage. That one was taken in Pine Cliff, the town of Pine Cliff, the siding of Cliff. And actually, as we were driving down there, you know, we heard on the radio that Pine Cliff was actually the number one area in the state in terms of how much snow they had gotten overnight. And that one was at 54 inches. And you want to talk about having fun. And that's waddling through snow that is up to your armpits, especially with camera gear. That one was just me and John on that one. Chase was not around, but I actually forgot my tripod that day. So fortunately, John had his in his car, which helped because we got some really cool stuff. We got Amtrak. We got a coal train up at Toland that I don't think is in the video. We went down into Tunnel 19 with the snow. Not recommended. I just laid down on the snowy road when we got back to the car because it was that exhausting getting back out of Tunnel 19. Then we saw the storage train. We caught an eastbound manifest dropping down the grade. And so a lot of those are clips that are in the video. And but then also you then have to go into the summers. And as I mentioned in the very first episode of the podcast, which described my background, the job I worked at, we had the company had a policy where it was half day Fridays in the summer. But so between Memorial Day and Labor Day, it was half day summers. And what they would do is every Friday, you know, it was a half day. But unfortunately I worked in a position where, you know, we were 24/7. We had to be there at all times. So what they did was they kind of rotated, but they picked the correct days, the days that made the most sense. And we got a full day off every other week. And so I utilized a couple of these every other Fridays, you know, half day Fridays, but it was really every other week. I utilized a couple of these to go out rail fanning. You know, I would go up to Crawford Hill. I spent one day on the Moffitt and had a really, really good day that you see it up in the video. I left home at, you know, 6:30, 7 a.m., something like that. Really early for being in the summer, for being a weekend. Well, technically my weekend, it was a Tuesday, but found out that the North Yard to Roper left not terribly long before I did. And so I highballed up to Rollinsville and caught it up at Toland. It met an eastbound BNSF train at Toland. I chased the eastbound BNSF train down the hill where it then... Then I turned back around because I knew I had heard on the radio that there was a loaded coal train approaching Winter Park. And so that's the one that I got up on the grade up to Rollins Pass, which you see in our 2022 calendar, Rails of the Rio Grande. That one is it's a calendar of modern photos of that were once Rio Grande lines. That's been a really popular calendar for us. And I mean, people are still buying copies of it, even though the calendar's 4 years old. Then I chased that train all the way down to Leiden. And then I kind of went back up the hill and heard that there was another westbound coming out of Denver. This was a BNSF freight. Got it a couple times before heading back down the hill. It turned out to be a really good day, you know, plus add both Amtraks in there, and a lot of scenes from that day made it into the video. But that was kind of the video where I knew, hey, I've got a lot of footage of the Moffett between three really big trips, plus having Saturday, you know, my weekend would start and I would check the ATCS and just catching a train or two on my way home from work. That between those and these three real big days, we kind of realized we had something going. And so went into the notes on my computer and kind of put all the scenes together, not in an editing program, but just in the notes. You know, I typed it all out, and here's what I have and here's what I need. And so over the next about year and a half or so, if I knew something was coming or if we were having a rail fan day out there, I would try to hit these areas, and that's where, you know, things kind of took off from there. I started putting it all together in the editing program. Okay, maybe I need something from North Yard. And so I'd get off work on my Saturday and go to North Yard, and oh, hey, here comes a Denver Provo to Denver on the BNSF. And so you catch that coming through, and you happen to catch a switch movement coming through, and you know, it turned into kind of that thing. If I needed something, I would go to that spot, happen to catch a train. I would know a train was coming. I would choose to go get it at that spot, and bam, suddenly it's good enough to go into the DVD. And the bigger issue was just finding it, because I had so many different clips on so many different weekends or trips that I had to go through, you know, every one of the SD cards, through all the folders, and try to find all the appropriate clips. And getting back to that day, though, in the summer, I wanted to mention this one specifically, but that is the scene in the video where you see the coal train going through cliff siding. It was on the main, but it was going through cliff, and an ambulance drives by after in the middle of the train. And that was a kind of a freaky thing, because you knew that they were going to get stopped by the train, except for the fact that the person had gone off the road in between me and the train. So I wound up, after getting the train and wanting to go back down again, I wound up passing this vehicle that had gone off the side of the road. And if you know the mountains there, it's a pretty steep drop off at that curve where they had gone over. And the one vehicle that was a witness was still there, and you could see that the one girl was pretty distraught. So I think it was high speed, maybe lost control or something, went over the edge. And I never did hear what happened. So, I mean, I hope for the best, but you just never know with a crash like that. And so that then gets us into some of the later trips that we took up there. Ironically, some of the last scenes were on a trip back from Utah. I'd gone with a couple friends to Utah for, you know, Echo Canyon, and we went to go see the Heber Valley, and we came back via Soldier Summit, and we were going to shoot the Deseret and out near Dinosaur and all that. But if you've ever heard about trying to rail fan that line, it's rough. So we just followed the Rio Grande all the way from Craig to Winter Park, and then went up and over the mountain, and happened to hear that there was a westbound coming out of Denver. And so it's actually a coal train with a Tier 4 Gevo, an AC-44, and a 70 Ace. We shot it twice. We shot it at Rawlinsville. And then we're able to get up to East Portal, and it's actually the very last scene in the video that we shot, and it's the last scene of the video, period. So I thought that was kind of a fun little thing. You know, it's the very last scene is the last scene. Kind of poetic there. But, you know, so that's kind of how all of that worked out. And then in terms of making it a DVD and all that, I had just kind of started taking my laptop into work. When you work night shifts, your biggest goal is to stay awake. And so I would take my laptop in there. I'd edit photos. I started doing a little bit of video editing, but that kind of took away from the job that I was supposed to be doing, where you have to hear what it is that you're doing. So it was mostly photo editing, but I took it a little bit, and then mostly I would edit it at home. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got 2 hours and you've got half of the clips that you recorded aren't even in it. That tells me that it, you know, it's a quality product. And, one of the days on there was the, not the rebirth, but kind of the 75th anniversary of the ski train that Amtrak just kind of did an anniversary run. Like, hey, we're doing this in mid-March, and tickets sold out in about 45 minutes. And so they added a second trip. And I tried going out there for the Saturday run, because Saturday at that time was not my weekend. Unfortunately, didn't get that particular run, which had Amtrak 42, the veterans unit, leading. But I was able to get out there for the Sunday run, which was the second day. And both of these days sold out, and it eventually led to what is currently the Winter Park Express, which is the Amtrak run that they do now between Denver and Winter Park for the skiing, which runs, I believe, mid-December through the end of March, like 4 or 5 days a week. I think 4 days a week, including the weekends. That was kind of the test bed for it. And while we're up there, you know, we happened to catch the last of the searchlights that were remaining. That was another one of the things of this video, was that when I started shooting the video, there were, I think, 3 or 4 sets of Rio Grande searchlights still running or still operating on the line. And while we were out there filming, these signals all got pulled down. And you know, it was, I don't want to use the word interesting, I don't want to use the word fun, but it's different seeing the transition, literally the transition within the video from classic Rio Grande searchlights to modern PTC UP signals. So that's another aspect of this video that I think is fairly entertaining, if not a little bit, you know, sad. It happens, you know, everything's changing. And like this filming was taking place during all of the PTC madness, and, you know, all of the routes that Amtrak runs on had to be upgraded to PTC first. And the Moffitt obviously gets the California Zephyr, and that led to another thing. And another particular day in that I'm thinking of was, it was a day in, I believe, March of 2016. It was, it may have been 17, but I think it was 16. The EMD's Tier 4 SD70 Aces were starting to come out, and we got word. And this happened to be during our weekend, so fortunately I didn't have to, you know, again, I was working night shift, so I didn't have to lose sleep to get out there and do it. It was just on my weekend. We were able to go out, got a couple trains in the morning, of which are in the video. Then there was a coal train in front of the move, and then we were able to chase the 70 Ace demonstrators between Blue Mountain Road and Rollinsville. And we're able to get them a few times, and really unique sound, because what these locomotives were doing was they were on their way up to Winter Park, which if you've been to Winter Park, you know that Winter Park is 10,000 feet, and they were going up there to do high altitude testing, see what kind of oxygen you can get in, see what kind of, you know, how they perform it at the high altitudes. And Colorado's really good for that. You know, if it's testing on the UP, it'll take place near Winter Park. If, you know, the old San Luis and Rio Grande, now Colorado Pacific Rio Grande, they'll do some high altitude testing for EMD and GE. And if BNSF is doing high altitude testing, they actually do it on Raton Pass. So it's a cool area if you want to get stuff testing. We haven't seen it in a while because there haven't been any new locomotives for a while. But that was kind of what this was, and that turned into a real fun day. And actually had to leave them early. They wound up stopping at East Portal to kind of check some things out. But I had to leave early. We actually had tickets to the Avalanche game that night. So my mom and I went, and we sat, I believe, in row 7, right behind the goal. And that was a good game. It was the Avalanche against the Coyotes. I believe the Avs won. Yeah, the consist for the test run, you had a lead locomotive that was basically there for headlights, identifier, and to blow the horn. The two tier four aces were doing all the work. They had the passenger car in the middle of them. And that has all sorts of testing gear inside. It's got computers and readouts, and it's the standard testing apparatus that they use, that both EMD and GE use. This one just happened to be from Progress Rail and from EMD. And then there were three locomotives behind them. Those were the ones that were doing all of the, they were in dynamic brakes, basically, which simulates like there's a load because it's the resistance. So you got the locomotives pulling, then you got the locomotives behind trying to pull back. And so that was the purpose of those locomotives on that train. And so we got three scenes of the demonstrator up there. The tier four aces, they sound really cool. They really do sound kind of cool. Kind of like a jet engine a little bit. If you've heard a tier four ace under load, it's different. It's definitely a different sound. I know the joke is that the tier four, GE tier fours, kind of sound like washing machines. Well, this one sounds like kind of like a jet engine. Neither of which sound as cool as, you know, the tunnel motors that once graced the line, but what does? So, anyway, Magical Clock is telling us that, hey, we're approaching our time to end. Unlike episode 3, when we went, you know, way, way over on our time, here we are. We're about to wrap up on time this time, but want to thank you again for joining us. Be sure to go check out Modern Day Moffat. It is currently available on our YouTube channel. And the ultimate goal for our YouTube channel is to have all the videos up on there, but then rotate which ones are free and which ones are available to members. So if you head over to YouTube, be sure to become a member for just a few bucks a month. You can access not only some of the videos, but you can get some of the videos without narration. That's something that we're also trying to get into the membership thing, you know, as a kind of a benefit. That's the only way right now to watch some of the videos without narration. But it's still a work in progress. So not everything is up there yet. We're working on it. We're trying to get them all out there. But head over there, give us a subscribe. Head over to our website, check out our full list of DVDs that we have available. Be sure to head over to Facebook, Instagram, give us follows there. If you're on Facebook, be sure to head over to the Dubker Depot fan group, where we'll have polls, we'll have photos, we'll have discussions. It's all in the infancy stages now. Again, this is only episode 4, so we're working on getting all of that going. What's going to get some good interaction, and all that fun stuff. So, and then if you're adventurous, head over to X, give us a follow, and watch us not tweet. So, again, our last tweet was August of 2021, and that was a photo that we took at the very, very start of the Victorian Iron Horse Roundup, which will be another episode of the Depot here. But down the line, we do have our planning an episode like this for every single one of our DVDs. Then there will also be subjects that come up that are not related to our DVDs. So, for example, you know, Big Boy 4014 is a topic that everybody seems to love. You know, well, we want to rank all of the USA 250 locomotives that have been released. But we want to give the railroads that haven't done it yet a chance to do it. So we'll get to that one down the road. And there's gaming, there's model stuff that's going on. I barely even touched on some of my favorite stuff during the favorites episode for episode 2. So, I mean, we could continue on with some of that. You guys don't even know my favorite locomotive model. It happens. But anyway, want to thank you for sticking around with us, and be sure to subscribe, and maybe we'll see you trackside.